Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. If law enforcement recovers a gun when they're investigating a crime, they want to know where it came from, who bought it, and where, or who made it. Tracing guns has gotten much harder in the past few years with the proliferation of what are called ghost guns. They're often assembled from kits using 3D printers, and they don't have serial numbers on them like mass-produced weapons usually do. There are ongoing efforts at both the local and federal levels to strengthen regulations around ghost guns. Last week, the Vermont House passed one such bill called S-209. Here to discuss is Representative Angela Arsenault, a member of the House Judiciary Committee. She's a Democrat from Williston who defended this bill on the House floor. Representative, welcome.
Hi, Michaela. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us. First, Representative, this phrase ghost guns, I think lots of folks might have heard in the news, but it's a very menacing phrase. It can be very unclear. Tell us a little bit more what exactly a ghost gun is and where they come from.
Sure. Very simply put, ghost guns are firearms that do not have a serial number. So any firearm that is produced, commercially, let's say produced or manufactured after 1968, will have a serial number. And ghost guns are those that are produced usually more often than not from a kit. There are kits that are available, can be ordered online with all of the component parts. A person will have to have some basic tools to put the gun together. But those kits were arriving without a serial number. And this bill, S-209, as well as the a federal rule, which I understand we'll be talking about
yes.
In a bit, both of those, both S-209 and the federal rule, looked at that option, let's say, that path to firearm ownership and said, we need to do something about this, because not only would the guns then lack a serial number, the owner of that gun would not undergo a background check. And so with S-209, we've said the kit, if you're going to order a kit to put together a gun, the kit will have to come already serialized on a very specific part of the gun, will have a serial number already included, and that kit will be delivered to a federally licensed firearms dealer in Vermont. That's where a person can go pick up the kit, and they will undergo a background check at that time.
So the kit would not be able to be sent directly to your home anymore, legally.
Correct. Yes, and I should say, sorry, that another way to make a ghost gun, and probably the one we hear more about, but is actually, we learned at least, is less common, is the idea of 3D printing a gun. Not a super reliable way to create a firearm. Certainly not recommended.
Our number is 800-639-2211 if you have thoughts about ghost guns and their potential new regulations in Vermont. Now, Representative, if passed, this bill would also bar firearms from certain locations, too. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. In the House, we received the bill from the Senate, and in our committee and in House Judiciary, we added a provision that would prohibit firearms and other dangerous or deadly weapons from polling places.
And why include that in a law about ghost guns? I mean, they both involve firearms, but also
yes.
Seem like slightly different issues.
Yes. There. Well, you've hit on it exactly, really, because S-209 provided us sort of procedurally with a vehicle to which our committee could attach the firearms prohibition at polling places, because it is ruled germane. That's the rule. Anytime you're altering or amending a bill, adding something onto an existing bill, there has to be a demonstration of germaneness. And because we're talking about firearms prohibitions, S-209 proved to be that a worthy vehicle for this really important legislation. Just given our current political climate, the really unfortunate current political climate, and the increasing threats of violence, threats towards poll workers, election workers, candidates, and if not violence, then certainly intimidation of voters. We really want all polling places in Vermont to remain free from that type of violence or intimidation. And so this seemed a really important step to take.
Well, let's go to the phones here. We have Clayton in Montpelier on the line. Clayton, what's your question or comment?
Well, I'm just concerned that ghost guns, because by definition, they're guns made at home, you'd never really be able to tell without going into someone's house and watching whether or not they're making one. Just banning them seems to take them away from people who do it as a hobby. And also, the prohibition on carrying guns places. I'm myself a member of marginalized groups, and I have felt rising tensions in the last, since I have been born, number of years. And to that end, I carry things to protect myself with, and usually I just don't go into places where that's not allowed.
Mm-hmm. So is your concern there, Clayton, that a ban on firearms in polling places, as S-209 puts forth, it wouldn't actually reduce crime just by officially banning a gun? Am I getting your question there correct?
Well, I don't see how it could possibly reduce crime.
Well, let's start with that. Representative Arsenault, what are your thoughts about Clayton's comment there? And then we'll go back to the first part of their comment.
Sure. I think we did hear this sentiment in testimony that some folks are concerned that by saying you cannot have a firearm in this particular place, that it makes that place less safe. But data shows that in a lot of other cases, certainly we know in instances of domestic violence, which is another example that's brought up often, people are less safe when firearms are present in those situations. So I understand what Clayton is saying, and I'm really sorry for that. You feel worried and scared just walking around, living your life to the point where you feel like you having to be armed to defend yourself. That's nobody should feel that way. So I'm sensitive to that, and also will say that I use the word sensitive because I was going to bring up sensitive places, which is those are areas or locations that have been determined to be very we're constitutionally sound here in our endeavor to ban firearms at polling places, because polling places have been identified in a number of landmark Supreme Court rulings as sensitive places, which are places where firearms can be prohibited in the United States. So,
it would not violate the second or the
correct.
Constitution.
It's not. That's correct. Not a Second Amendment violation.
Well, speaking to Clayton's first concern about how effective this regulation would be on reducing the number of unlicensed ghost guns in Vermont. In January, the president of the Vermont Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, which opposes this bill, said in testimony that the guns establish or that it would establish, quote, unenforceable laws that would significantly impact and hurt law abiding citizens through loss of time and money, essentially saying, you know, how are we ever going to enforce something like this where guns being ordered online, a kit shipped directly to a person's house? How will we ever know? What are your thoughts there?
Right. It's certainly a fair point and something that we discussed a lot in our committee as well. And, you know, we worked really hard to balance this respect and honoring the tradition of gunsmithing and in Vermont and understand, want to make very clear that if S-209 were to become law, that would still be legal. It would still be legal to make your own gun at home, even without a kit. I know that some, gunsmiths are, it's a craft, and they're able to make a firearm from their own raw materials. That's still allowed. The only difference is that gun would then need to be brought to a federally licensed firearms dealer and to have a serial number added to it. And as I mentioned before, the kits now being shipped to folks in Vermont would be shipped to, again, to a dealer. These are called FFLs. There are over 200 of them in Vermont. So while we acknowledge that it is not a law that anyone's going to be seeking to enforce in the way of like knocking on doors, or asking to register a gun. There's nothing like that going on here. It's really aimed at the criminal element. Basically, the existence of ghost guns create a loophole for prohibited persons, people who are not supposed to have guns legally. These can be folks who've been convicted of domestic violence or other violent crimes. Ghost guns created a loophole for them to obtain a firearm and then use the firearm potentially in the commission of a crime. That's where law enforcement has been discovering ghost guns more and more in Vermont, is really when a crime has already taken place and then they're finding, a weapon that was used, a firearm that was used that is not traceable. So we're trying to get at that issue while also still honoring and respecting the tradition of gunsmithing in Vermont and really asking folks, as we do with any other law, to abide by the law.
And it's supposed to also act as a deterrent as well. If somebody commits a crime using a ghost gun, the charges against them will be more severe. Yes?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And that's sort of, I think that the inclusion of that provision is quite telling, that we really are trying to get at the criminal side of ghost gun ownership and asking folks, law-abiding, responsible gun owners to also abide by this law as they do, all gun laws.
Yeah. Well, let's try to squeeze in one or two more calls here. Kurt in Rockingham is on the line. Kurt, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm a veteran of the United States Army, and I've been living in Vermont over 35 years, and we target shoot behind my, I have 7-10 acres, and we have the Rockingham Pistol and Rifle Club, and as far as we are concerned with the legality of having these people make their own guns. It's not right. If they didn't want to do that at home, fine. But they must have the firearms registered. They really, really should.
Hmm. Well, a vote in support of this legislation from Kurt in Rockingham. Thanks so much for calling in. We also have Eric in Granville on the line. Eric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm certainly all in support for, registering firearms, serial numbers for firearms. I think that all makes very good sense in regards to keeping people safe. I guess my question is, any person that's going to be committing a certain act, what's going to prevent them from purchasing a firearm or getting a firearm through nefarious means and just eliminating that serial number on the gun, which is basically making it untraceable at that point? I think if you have a certain element that's going to commit certain acts, they're going to go above and beyond just printing a gun or ordering something online. Just getting a gun and eliminating the serial number is my question.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Representative Angela Arsenault, how useful, how reliable are these serial numbers? Have you talked to law enforcement about this?
Yeah, I can remember a few bills last year that we talked about where a serial number had been removed from a gun. So certainly that is, it's possible and it happens. And so I guess I would say again, we can't necessarily craft a law that will account for every possibility, but this law helps us to reduce the number of ghost guns in Vermont, the number of unserialized firearms. I'm reminded that not everyone who owns a ghost gun has any intention of using it in the commission of a crime, but guns can and often are stolen. A lot of firearms that are used in the commission of crime are actually stolen, often out of cars, unlocked cars or out of homes. So this is just one other way of reducing the chance that a person who is not supposed to have a gun will find a way to get a gun and then that gun not being traceable. But to the point that that the caller made, that you can still remove a serial number from a gun once you've gotten it, that is true. I understand you can, it's probably not very easy, but you can deface the serial number, basically making it untraceable. Mm-hmm. So then I would just say anyone who, if that gun were used in the commission of a violent crime, or as we stipulate in the bill, while committing reckless endangerment, there's an enhanced penalty for that.
Representative, we only have about a minute left with you here. I do want to look at what is going on nationally in the time that we have. A couple years ago, the Biden administration introduced an executive order to curb the spread of ghost guns. It would require serial numbers on the guns. Anyone buying one would need to pass a background check. Sounds very similar to what's going on here. But just last week, the Supreme Court announced it would hear a challenge to this rule. How could the Supreme Court's decision affect what happens in Vermont? And what are you watching on that national level?
Yeah, it's no coincidence or accident that the rule and the law that we're proposing sound very similar. S-209 is modeled off of this current federal rule, which was put into place by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And the case that's coming to the Supreme Court argues that the administration, the Biden administration and the ATF, lacked the authority to enact this rule without essentially being asked to do so by Congress, or without an act of a legislative act at the federal level. And that, getting into the specifics, it's about the definition of a firearm. So if the rule is struck down by the Supreme Court, then S-209 is signed into law, then all of us here in Vermont would still be protected. The ghost guns prohibition would stand as laid out in the law that both the House and Senate have passed. It's now going back to the Senate for, to check on our changes that the House made. But knowing that this rule was being challenged really made it all the more important that we pass a law in Vermont so that the prohibition would remain in place here in Vermont, no matter what happens with the federal rule.
Well, something will
I'm hopeful that it stands. I'm hopeful that you know, the Supreme Court decides to uphold the Biden administration's right to make such a rule. But again, we would still be protected here in Vermont if S-209 becomes law.
Democratic Representative Angela Arsenault of Williston, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.